Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today. We have a big lineup set up for the podcast today, as we're going to talk about the history of the Rams, a big trade by the New York Jets, how the AFL operated throughout history, and we have a very special feature story we're going to talk about, one of the Four Horsemen, coming up next. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Pigskin Dispatch Daily History Football Podcast. As we go through the events of September 10th today, all the events from football on the date of September 10th that they took place. We're going to go right through all of them rapid fire, so let's go. 1936, the Second American Football League played its first game as the Los Angeles Bulldogs defeated the Pittsburgh Americans 21-0. The first edition of the AFL operated in 1926 and is sometimes referred to as the Grange League, as star player Red Grange, C.C. Pyle, and General Charles Zimmerman started the league that operated only in that one season. The AFL was revived in 1936 and 37 as a rival to the NFL. The Bulldogs were the first professional West Coast team to go undefeated and win a title. They did this years before the Cleveland Browns did it in the AAFC or when the Miami Dolphins did it in the NFL. Next stop is September 10th, 1937. The Cleveland Rams franchise leaves the AFL and joins the NFL, and it was on this date that they played their very first NFL game. The Detroit Lions defeated the Rams in their NFL debut 28-0, but the franchise survived. Though they started in Cleveland and in the 1940s moved to LA, then to St. Louis, then back to LA where they are and always have been the Rams since this day in 1937. Jump the Hyperloop to 1973 on September 10th, and the NFL's leading receiver, Don Maynard, is traded by the New York Jets to the St. Louis Cardinals. A few decades after that, on September 10, 2016, the largest paid attendance in the history of football is reached as 156,990 spectators at Bristol Motor Speedway in a neutral site game between the University of Tennessee and Virginia Tech took place. We invite you to check out our website, PigskinDispatch.com, to not only see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskin Dispatch is in the social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Pigskin Dispatch is also happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com. Now let's move on to our segment with our birthday celebrations of this September 10th, and we'll go to our main story of today's edition, September 10th, 1902, the birth of Jim Crowley. Jim was born in Chicago, and in early life, his family moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Crowley attended the town's East High School, where he played football and basketball. During the 1919 East football season, Jim's head coach was the legendary Curly Lambeau. After high school, Jim was accepted into the University of Notre Dame, where he joined the football program. One can't always use their first impression as good judgment, as Notre Dame's head coach, Newt Rockne, soon found out. Newt Rockne, as he was walking down looking at his 1922 football team, saw Jim Crowley and tabbed him with the nickname Sleepy Jim. Because in a comment to an aide of Rockne's, he said, "Except for a nimble wit, Crowley shows nothing." And that was his first impression of Jim Crowley, who had a very relaxed and smooth motion of performing his drills in practice. When it was game time, though, this smooth gait was decisive and direct, even violent, and it gave opposing defenses fits. It wouldn't take long for Coach Rockne to change his mind on Jim Crowley's football demeanor, as he described the player as the nerviest back I've ever known. This reference most likely came from the way Sleepy Jim would throw his body at rushing defenders. Crowley is most notably remembered in Notre Dame history as one of the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish teams of 1922 through 1924. The quartet was labeled with a notorious nickname by Rockne's publicist, George Strickler, and then recorded eloquently in print by New York Herald Tribune's writer Grant Lynn Rice. The legend of the Horsemen arose out of Strickler walking into a conversation in the press box during the halftime of the October 18, 1924 Irish game against the Army Black Knights. Grant Lynn Rice was spearheading a chat amongst other Big Times news writers about the dominance that the Irish offense was demonstrating against Army. George Strickler interjected a reference from a recent Rudolph Valentino movie they had recently watched when he stated, "Yeah, just like the Four Horsemen." The comment was somewhat ignored by the men of the press, but as the second half wore on and a relentless, rapid succession of plays that kept Army's defense off balance and the images of the Horsemen by Strickler resonated in Grant Rice's mind. Rice sat by his typewriter after the 13-7 Notre Dame victory and wrote what may be one of the most famous lines ever in college football journalism. "Outlined against the blue-gray October sky, the Four Horsemen rode again. In dramatic lore, they are known as famine, pestilence, destruction, and death. These are only aliases. Their real names are Studrier, Miller, Crowley, and Layden. They formed the crest of the South Bend Cyclone, before which another Fighting Army team was swept over at the precipice of the Polo Grounds this afternoon as 55,000 spectators peered down upon the bewildering panorama spread out upon the green plain below." The Four Horsemen reference was, of course, a biblical reference to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. The moniker stuck, and the quartet is still and well remembered to this day. The football writers and broadcasters composed an all-time Notre Dame team in 1962, and Jim Crowley was the only one amongst the Four Horsemen to make it on this squad. The College Football Hall of Fame inducted him into their collection of legends in 1966. Jim tried his hand at professional football, but only played three NFL games total, with stints at the Green Bay Packers and with the Providence Steamrollers. In 1925, the Waterbury Blues signed two of the Horsemen, Crowley and Studrier, against a team from Adams, Massachusetts. Sleepy Jim scored three touchdowns in the 34-0 romp over Adams, collected his check after the game, and left the team to go to his other job of coaching at the University of Georgia. Crowley went on to coach at Michigan State for 4 years, and then was lured away into taking over the powerful Fordham University program. His collegiate coaching record was a very respectable 86 wins, 23 losses, and 11 ties. As head of the 1939 Fordham team, he coached in the very first televised football game. Jim served in the Navy during World War II, and there he coached a military team, the North Carolina Pre-Flight School Cloudbusters. He later tried his hand at coaching in the professional ranks, as he was once the commissioner of the All-American Football Conference and became part owner of the coach of the league's worst team, the Chicago Rockets. Needless to say, Crowley's success in the college ranks didn't transfer to the AAFC, as the Rocket team finished with a 1-13 record in 1947, prompting him to relinquish his roles with the team before the 1948 season. Crowley then moved to Pennsylvania, held a few odd jobs before landing the position of chairman of the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission for 9 years. Our next legendary birthday was born on September 10, 1939. Buck Buchanan, a defensive tackle from Grambling State University. He was a big body for the day, weighing in at 267 pounds, but Buck was very agile for his size as he clocked in with a 4.940 time and a 10.2 seconds in the 100-yard dash. Buck went on to play in the AFL and NFL as part of the defensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs. During a 1967 season, the 6'7" defender knocked down 16 passing attempts by opposing quarterbacks. He was a member of the Super Bowl IV winning Kansas City team. And for his dominant play, Mr. Buchanan was selected to both the College Football Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Our next legend was born on September 10, 1945. Marlon Briscoe, the former University of Nebraska at Omaha quarterback. He was nicknamed the Magician as he often performed some amazing feats on the gridiron. The Magician had a career college record of 27-11 and led his Nebraska teams to 3 conference titles and held 22 of the school's records when he left Nebraska. Briscoe became the first African-American starting quarterback in American professional football when he took over the offensive signal calling for the Denver Broncos in the 1968 season. He played in the league for 9 seasons, and the College Football Hall of Fame selected him into their entry class of 2016. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.